In Cleveland last night, the Indians beat the Detroit Tigers 2-1. But that baseball game isn't the story. It's the man in the booth doing play-by-play for Detroit radio listeners. Ernie Harwell has been calling major league games since 1948. This is his last season, which means if major league players go on strike tomorrow, last night's game quite possibly was Harwell's last. NPR's Don Gagne, who grew up in Detroit listening to Harwell's broadcasts, has an appreciation.
Okay, so this has not exactly been the best of baseball seasons. The All-Star game ended in a tie, a strike looms, and my team, the once proud Detroit Tigers, could lose 100 games. Still, people in the Detroit area have been paying extra attention to the radio broadcast this year, savoring one final season with an 84-year-old gentleman whose southern baritone has provided the soundtrack to their summers for more than four decades.
Now he kicks and deals, and it's just outside. 1-2 on Higgy. Tigers trail it, 1-0 in the third, still trying to get some runs.
For generations of fans in Detroit, it's impossible to hear Ernie Harwell's voice without instantly being transported back to another place and time. Listening to a game in a dark kitchen with Dad, lying in bed late at night with a radio tucked under the pillow, pulling in the Tigers broadcast from the West Coast, or hearing his voice coming from countless transistor radios at the beach or from car windows.
And the windup and the pitch. He swings a line shot. Base hit. Right field. The Tigers win it. Here comes K-Line to score. And it's all over. Don Wirtz singles. The Tigers mob Don. K-Line has scored. The fans are steaming on the field. And the Tigers have won their first pennant since 1945. Let's listen to the bedlam here at Tiger Stadium.
That recording is from 1968. Harwell was 50 years old at the time, sitting in a broadcast booth at Tiger Stadium that was so close to the action that they stapled chicken wire across the bottom of the window to protect the announcers from foul balls. These days, Harwell works at modern Comerica Park in downtown Detroit. The booth is a good bit farther back, but Ernie sounds as on top of things as ever.
Swing, fly ball, hit into left field, not very deep. Higgy's coming in, he's got it. Ichiro's tagging, there'll be a play at the plate. Here's the throw, he is in safely. It'll be a sacrifice and a 3-1 lead for the Mariners.
Ernie Harwell was born in the South in the farm town of Washington, Georgia. Hard times forced his family to move to Atlanta when he was a kid. He struggled with a speech impediment and went through therapy to learn how to say S and CH sounds. He broke into broadcasting while in college and was later hired to do play-by-play for the minor league Atlanta Crackers on the radio. In 1948, he got a call from the Brooklyn Dodgers. Announcer Red Barber had taken ill and the Dodgers needed a replacement fast.
Here's the Boss Branch Rickey called the owner of the Crackers Earl Mann and said, I'd like to have Ernie Harwell come up and replace Red as my announcer. And Earl Mann said, well, that's fine, Mr. Rickey, but he's under contract to me, and if you really want him, you send me your catcher from Montreal, Cliff Dapper. So I got to the big leagues traded for a minor league catcher.
Has that ever happened before?
No, I don't think so. There have been a lot of goofy trades that I've heard about. A fellow at Chattanooga was traded for Thanksgiving turkey, and a pitcher was traded for a barrel of oysters, and but that's the first announcer trade, I think.
Harwell arrived in Brooklyn the year after Jackie Robinson joined the team.
I think Jackie breaking the color line with the help of Branch Rickey is the most significant event in sports history. Not only baseball, but sports.
From Brooklyn, Harwell bounced around a bit. He worked for the New York Giants and for the Baltimore Orioles. In 1960, he moved to Detroit. That's where Dale Petroski first heard Harwell. Petroski grew up a baseball fanatic in the suburbs of Detroit. Today, he is the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, where Harwell has been enshrined for his broadcasting skills alongside the likes of Red Barber, Vin Scully, Jack Buck, and Harry Carey.
If you take the great icons of baseball broadcasting, Ernie Harwell is perhaps the most talented, the most thoughtful, the most well-rounded of all of them. He is a published songwriter and poet. He's an artist who paints pictures with his words and his voice, so we could clearly see what was happening in the ballpark over the radio.
And the tall right-hander, Freddy Garcia, puts his glove down on his front knee, peers in to get the sign now from the catcher, Wilson. Goes to the set, holds it, checks his runners, delivers.
Vic gets another foul. This one over to the top roll and scooting up into the seats.
I think that he is a great observer. I'll never forget when he described Kirby Puckett once as a well-upholstered young man. And I thought that is such a beautiful description. I think it goes to his ability to write. He's a great writer.
Here's the pitch on the way. It's a strike called. Oh, he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by. Struck him out.
Asked about his style, Ernie Harwell says he likes to keep it simple. He's not afraid to sit silently at the mic, letting the game breathe a bit, letting his audience hear the vendors and other sounds of the ballpark. And he says you can't get overly excited on each play. You have to save it for when something really exciting happens.
There's a swing and a fly ball hit to right. That's going deep, way back, and a leap by Ichiro. He can't get it. Long gone, just out of his reach, into the bullpen. Tigers lead it 6-3.
Welcome to the ballgame, Hashikawa.
Harwell looks fit. He jumps rope every morning to stay in shape and says he feels like he could still work for another 5 years. Ultimately, though, he decided this would be a good time to retire from the booth.
The old gag in radio, you know, is I heard your last show and it should have been. And I didn't want everybody saying that about me. I wanted to go out when I felt like I could still do the job, and I felt it's better to go too early than too late.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm Orioles welcome and a thank you to one of the game's greats, Mr. Ernie Harwell.
At Camden Yards in Baltimore on a recent Sunday, Harwell sprinted to the mound in 99-degree heat to throw out the ceremonial first ball. One fan held up a homemade sign that read, "Don't go on strike, it's Ernie Harwell's last season." As one watches all of this, it's easy to forget that Ernie Harwell was actually fired once. Just over a decade ago, the Tigers decided to jazz up the sound of their radio broadcast. Harwell was replaced by a pair of very upbeat announcers from out of town. Fans were outraged. It was called the biggest PR blunder in baseball history. A year later, a new team owner brought Harwell back to the booth. Fast forward to today, where Ernie Harwell is essentially the Tigers' lone superstar, the team's biggest draw. When told that Tiger Hall of Fame outfielder Al Kaline says they should erect an Ernie Harwell statue at the ballpark, Harwell says such talk is more than a little embarrassing.
Well, I don't agree with that, but it's nice that Al is so supportive. You know, as I said, I'm just a worker and just trying to do the job, that's all.
They did put out an Ernie Harwell bobblehead this
year.
Yeah,
they did. I was surprised at that. And I told everybody I sent it back for more wrinkles.
Mostly, Harwell says it's more than enough that people seem to think of him as family. As for last night's game, which could wind up being Harwell's last, he said no final farewell. He's saving that for the official last game of the season, hoping there still is one in September. Detroit Tiger fans hope so, too. Don Gagne, NPR News.
Tiger outfielder Al Kaline stepping in. Here's the set.